Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings, how much do you need? I am intentionally trying to go big picture because this is how you're going to keep the flow of the study and you truly appreciate, therefore, as the details fall in place. Solomon has become the king. He's organized the government. He's done remarkable things. God has promised him wealth. He's given him the wealth. God has promised him wisdom, and he has given him the wisdom, but along with that, God has given him incredible wealth. And this is what we're seeing. Solomon has built the temple. He's built a palace and many, many other things he has built. And again, the importance of putting together Scripture with Scripture. If you have not read Ecclesiastes, I would highly encourage you to do so. That's Solomon's reflections at the end of his life, looking back. Well, in our last study, it was the Queen of Sheba. And that was in 1 Kings 10. In verses 1 through 3, the queen comes to Solomon, asks him questions. And in 4 through 10, we have her response. And so it is that this woman has come a journey to find wisdom, to learn about this man that she's learned of. We are going to continue on. We're going to pick up at verse 10 where we left off last week, and we're going to continue on with the flow of the passage. Let us read our text, 1 Kings 10:10. And she, the queen of Sheba, gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stays on either side of on the place of the seat. And 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other side 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. There was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots of horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yard at a price, and a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver. and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring from them out by their means. You already getting a feeling for how much do you need? I find it interesting, one of the things that he wrote in Ecclesiastes was, over and again, there is nothing new under the sun. Okay, you have a gold cup, and I cup my hands to drink. We both drink. There's nothing new under the sun. Just because you drink out of a gold cup and I don't, there's nothing new under the sun. We have MP3 players, they had orchestras. Right? There's nothing new under the sun, fundamentally. Well, tonight's study, in verses 1 through 11, we see the gifts to Solomon, and in verses 12 to 29, what Solomon did with all this wealth. So let us consider this man, chosen by God, and yet we're going to see him get into a terrible, terrible mess. Verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. What do you get a man who has everything? Ladies, you think your husband's hard to shop for? She gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store, and precious stones, and there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She didn't just give anything. She gave incredible wealth. Do we reflect back again, thinking about all the incredible things that she brought and gave and the wealth, the danger of that journey? It's believable that they came up the Red Sea. It does say that there was a camel train carrying things. Could have been both land and sea. The ship could have sunk. They could have been attacked along the way. She must have carried quite a multitude of people with her to make this incredible journey. She had given incredible gifts to Solomon. Look at verse 11. We've now seen the queen of Sheba and the navy also of Hiram brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. They're apparently branching out now and they're getting different things to have them brought in to the nation. So it is Solomon is securing incredible wealth. God is truly blessing him beyond imagination. We have Hiram, the king of Tyre, giving. Now, it's interesting. He's already rejected 20 cities. Remember that? I don't want these cities. But, you know, it's interesting. Even when you take Hiram, they worked it out. Solomon wasn't bitter at him because he didn't take the cities, and he wasn't truly offended. He spoke his mind. I don't want these. I believe he lived in Tyre. He wanted to ship. You gave me 20 inland cities. They kept going. They're still friends. Get along with each other. He rejected 20 cities that he could have rebuilt for his people. He was generous to Solomon. But I think there's something very interesting here we'll see in a second. The Queen of Sheba applied herself to learn. We don't see Hiram saying, teach me. She cared for her people so much that she humbled herself and traveled a great distance to learn from Solomon. She was not only generous with her wealth, but also with her own time and effort. So it is the Queen of Sheba came to learn, while it seems that Hiram sent as a political move. If we go back, I couldn't obviously give you all the verses, but please listen, make a note in your margin. 1 Kings 4:34. 1 Kings 4:34, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon. I don't have to get down there. We're good buddies, you know. He gives me a few billion bucks. I give him a few billion bucks. What's it matter? And this queen came primarily, first of all, to ask hard questions. I just find that interesting that Hiram was not like-minded, apparently. Now, they were both wise to give to Solomon. I don't know if they fully understood the words that were spoken to Abraham, whosoever blesses you, I'll bless. And them that curse you, I'll curse. God promised that in Genesis 12. But it was true. And I want you to think about this too. As we are talking about Hiram, Solomon, and Sheba, Queen of Sheba, three people controlled incredible amounts of wealth. I remember 10 years ago or so listening on the radio, and they were as a talk program, and they were talking about the wealth of this world. And the guy that was being interviewed, I don't even remember his name, he made a powerful statement that I remember the essence of. Over half the world's money is controlled by 50 people. In other words, he said, those 50 people, the half of the wealth could fit in a bus. Is that sobering? It really hasn't changed, has it? What do you need all that money for? Let's consider wealth. What really is wealth? What do you do with it? Chapter 10, verse 12. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord. Everybody needs those, right? I mean, what do you do after you have everything? And he made harps for the psalteries, for singers. There came no such as almug trees. And then the same thing. He then turns and hands to the queen of Sheba. Read verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, and beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So here she brings his multitude of wealth, and he hands it back. Same but different. So she turned and went to her own country. He makes pillars. He makes harps. He makes psalteries. He gave away money. What a world we live in. But what do you do once you have that much gold? Do you really need a throne of ivory? There's nothing new under the sun. I sit on this wooden chair. You sit on ivory. How's that? So it is. This incredible wealth. Verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and all the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. How's it happening? Because God's letting it happen. God made a promise to Solomon. Because Solomon did not seek it, God said, therefore I will give it to you. According to the commentary, that annual gold that Solomon got on today in the mid-1950 time, that would have been approximately $19 million every year came in. So it is. Nothing has ever been compared to be greater, though, than what God did. The lilies of the field, and even Solomon in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Does it really matter how much gold you have? And even more wealth comes to Solomon. Look at verse 15. Beside that he had them of the merchantment and the traffic of the spice merchants and all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country were producing wealth. 16. And Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. There's nothing new. It's just gold plated now. Verse 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with gold. It had 6 steps. There were lions. There were drinking vessels of gold. In 21. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. And Solomon had so much silver, it was worthless, basically. And this money just keeps flowing into Jerusalem. How much money do you need, Solomon? What can you finally do with all this? We understand that money is not the answer. You don't sleep better at night with money. You sleep better by trusting God. I want to quote When God promised to give Solomon wisdom, he also promised him riches and honor. Earning money honestly isn't a sin, but loving money and living just to acquire riches is a sin. And Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity." Someone has wisely said, continuing the quote, "It's good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things that money can't buy." Solomon's annual income of 666 talents of gold, or about 25 tons, came from several sources: taxes, tolls, customs, duty fees, trade, tribute, and gifts. His use of conscripted labor was also a form of income. It took a great deal of money to support this splendid manner of life. And after Solomon's death, the people of Israel protested the yoke they were wearing and asked that the burden be lightened. We covered that last week. The Queen of Sheba said, "My, oh my, oh my, your servants are so happy." And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, "Don't hear what your servant says in private. He'll curse you." And eventually they're going to cry out for relief. Why did Solomon need 500 shields that required 2,525 pounds of gold to make? Why did he need an ivory throne overlaid with gold? Why must he and his guests drink only from golden vessels? To what purpose were the thousands of horses and chariots he assembled? Why did he need 700 wives and 300 concubines? In pursuing each of these goals, Solomon disobeyed the very word of God. Please look at your verse sheet. There's words here spoken by God through Moses to the children of Israel as he was about to die. Joshua was going to take the leadership and lead them into the promised land. We're reading words that were spoken several hundred years earlier. Deuteronomy 17:14. "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself," whoops, "nor cause his people to return to Egypt." Solomon was going back to Egypt to get horses. "To the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself." Do you think 1,000 is a little excess? "That his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." He's at the peak of his glory, wealth, and he's about ready to decline. 18, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." Quote, "that Israel's king was not to multiply horses and go to Egypt to get them, nor was he to multiply wives or gold. Solomon not only acquired thousands of horses, he also became a horse dealer himself. He was warned in Deuteronomy to remain humble before the Lord and not consider himself better than his brothers." It's not difficult to believe that Solomon's heart was lifted up in pride, and pride always leads to destruction. To the world of that day, and especially to the Jewish people, Solomon became a model of wealth and splendor. And no doubt many envied him. But Jesus said that one of his father's lilies was more beautifully arrayed than Solomon in his glory. The more we must add to our possessions before people will admire us, the less true wealth and beauty we really have. David had prophets and priests who advised him and even warned and rebuked him. But nobody seems to have admonished Solomon to pay more attention to making a life instead of amassing a fortune. A Roman proverb says, riches are like salt water. The more you drink, the more you thirst. Henry David Thoreau said that a rich man, in proportion to the number of things that he can afford to do without. I love that. A man is truly rich by the things he can do without. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Certainly there are details of Solomon's wealth that are unclear, but the fact remains, he is one wealthy man, no other king on earth compared to him. And Solomon will learn that it is all vanity and vexation of spirit. Now it's also interesting, at the peak of all this, can you not see Israel standing back? Think about this. There is gold coming off of ships. There is gold coming from camel trains from the Arabian countries. There is gold in the streets. There is gold in the temple. There is gold in the palace. There is gold for drinking cups. And there's not one reference at all for crime. I mean, don't you realize how good life is? Of course God's happy with us. We can just let the doors unlock, because who's going to take it? Instead, take it, they're bringing it. Solomon is now, he's losing his perspective on life. There is no record at all of theft or invasion. I want you to consider minor blessings, major blessings. A minor blessing is gold. A major blessing, peace. How about a minor blessing? Silver, so much as they're like stones. Major blessings, temple worship. Minor blessings, a golden temple. Major blessings, good families. Minor blessings, golden vessels. Major blessings, wisdom. Minor blessings, gold shields. Major blessings, salvation. Minor blessings, cedar trees. Major blessings, health. Look at verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. Husbands, you are looking to get something for your wife for your anniversary? She would love an ape. You know, when you look at all this stuff that they're bringing to Solomon, does it even say that they're down there bartering? Or is it just expected? It doesn't say. Did he just have such a heavy taxation on these people? He had merchants, that's true, but not in every case. It seems like he's also got just, give me. I'm the king, keep sending money. If you remember earlier on in this study, that Solomon divided up the responsibilities throughout the country of Israel, the nation there, and once a month they were to bring food to Jerusalem. And it seems like maybe that just extended into what we're seeing here. And King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. It's something interesting. Let's take a look at 1 Kings 10:24. And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart, and they brought every man his present. Get this. They wanted wisdom. That was first. And then they brought vessels of silver and gold. There was a time when wisdom did come before wealth. But you will see that flip. That now they're interested in wealth. And wealth, and wealth, and wealth. Solomon's father David was a man of war, and yet he had few chariots. Solomon had no war. Verse 28. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn, and king's merchants received from the linen yard a piece. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. He is bringing in chariots. Matter of fact, if you go back in Chronicles chapter 18, you will see David had 100 chariots. Wisdom from God has elevated Solomon. I want you to get this. How did Solomon get there? He gave his life to the Lord. Lord, I want wisdom to rule your people. He was humble in the beginning, but success ruined him. Absolutely. He had great wealth. God did keep his promise. But I want you to think about this. Early days, he doesn't have all this money and wealth, but he wants God's wisdom. And that's what God really blessed. And how many times are we back here and we're looking at our kids and, honey, if you don't get a college education, Solomon didn't have one. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a college education, but you better keep God first and foremost. That's what he did as a young man. And God blessed it and blessed it and blessed it. You must keep God first and foremost in your life. That is where success is found. And even if you become some humble person in the community with God, you have more wealth than Solomon did. So it is. Solomon is quite impressed with his golden pomp. There will come a time that Solomon will look back and he'll say, what a waste. He said in Proverbs 13:7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is him that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Always keep your perspective. What is wealth? Even if you have a gold-plated Rolls Royce, it's nothing new under the sun. It goes down the road just like a chariot did. There is nothing new under the sun. Let us learn from Solomon. How much do we really need?
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.